I want you to picture something for a second. You walk into your local store, you head over to a display, and you grab a jacket you've been eyeing.
Right.
And then you just turn around and walk right out the front door. You don't stop at a register. You don't, like, scan a barcode. You just leave.
Yeah, no security alarms going off. Mm-hmm. No one chasing you down in the parking lot.
Exactly. And the craziest part is that it is completely legal and it's completely normal. You just walk away and a receipt quietly pops up on your phone a few seconds later.
It really does feel like magic. Or, you know, at least some high-budget science fiction movie.
Right. But this is actually happening right now, and it is entirely powered by this massive, largely invisible shift in how physical retail spaces operate. So today, our mission for this deep dive is to unpack a comprehensive guide by Skopic.
Yeah, and this guide is all about how the retail industry is being fundamentally transformed by a technology called computer vision.
Right. Because whether you are a business owner trying to figure out how to gain a competitive edge or, you know, you're just a curious consumer wondering why your local grocery store suddenly feels so much smarter.
And maybe a little more observant lately.
Yeah, exactly. This is the hidden engine redesigning your everyday shopping experience. Okay, let's unpack this. What exactly are we talking about when we say computer vision in a retail setting?
Well, the foundation of it is artificial intelligence combined with camera hardware.
Hmm.
But, I mean, it goes much deeper than just hitting record.
Right. It's not just a security tape.
Exactly. The Skopic guide actually pulls a great definition from Fortune Business Insights that really sets the baseline here. They state that, similar to human visual perception, the technology's objective is to replicate how humans see and understand visual information.
Replicate how we see.
Yeah. So it is actively dissecting, identifying, and contextualizing the geometry and movement happening in its field of view.
Right.
And it's doing all of this in real time.
Yeah. Right. So it's not just watching, it's actually understanding. When I was reading through the source material, I kept coming back to this analogy. It's like these brick and mortar stores are being surgically implanted with a visual cortex.
Oh, I like that. A visual cortex.
Yeah, because the cameras mounted on the ceiling are just the optical nerve, right? They're the eyes. But the AI is the biological brain sitting right behind them. Interpreting all that messy, chaotic, real-world data and turning it into recognizable reality.
That is a great analogy, but, you know, we should probably push it a little further to really understand the mechanics at play. Because a human visual cortex doesn't just instantly know, oh, that's a jacket.
Right, it takes a microsecond to process.
Exactly. It processes light, then it identifies edges, then it groups those edges into shapes, and then it matches those shapes against memory to categorize the object.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, retail computer vision is doing the exact same sequence algorithmically. The AI analyzes the pixel data. It runs it through a neural network to detect the boundaries of objects. And then it cross-references that geometric data against a massive database of store inventory.
So it basically assigns a meaning to what it's looking at based on its memory.
You got it.
That makes the front-end applications they mention in the guide so much more fascinating to me. Let's look at how that visual cortex interacts directly with you, the customer.
Yeah, the front-end stuff is really wild.
The guide heavily highlights this virtual try-on technology, where you use a smartphone or an in-store display to digitally overlay clothing or eyewear or makeup onto your body.
Right.
But I have to push back a little here because my immediate reaction was just pure skepticism.
Really? Why is that?
Well, is this actually a structural transformation in retail, or is it just like a flashy augmented reality gimmick designed to trick people into downloading a store's app? Because we've all seen those social media filters, and they rarely feel revolutionary.
You know, you're right to be skeptical, because frankly, a lot of early retail tech adoption is purely cosmetic. It is a gimmick.
Right.
But if you look at the supply chain logistics detailed in the text, virtual try-on solves a massive bleeding wound for retailers, which is product returns.
Ah, okay. The returns.
Yeah, because the technology has evolved way past simple filters. These systems are using spatial mapping to find facial or body landmarks.
Like what kind of landmarks?
Like the exact pupillary distance of your eyes or the actual curvature of your cheekbones. They even calculate ambient lighting in real time to render how a shade of makeup will actually look under your specific bathroom lights at home.
Wait, really? It adjusts for the lighting in my house.
It does.
So it's not just pasting a 2D sticker of sunglasses onto my face. It's actually rendering a 3D object into my physical environment.
Correct. And, you know, when a customer has that highly accurate, physically realistic preview, their purchasing confidence just skyrockets.
Right, because they know what they're actually getting.
Exactly. And logistically, this drastically reduces the volume of returns. Returns are an absolute nightmare for retailers.
Because of the shipping and restocking costs.
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah.
By the time a returned item is shipped back, inspected, repackaged, and restocked, the profit margin is essentially gone. That's assuming they don't just throw it in a landfill, which happens a lot.
Wow.
So by eliminating a significant portion of that buyer's remorse up front, this tech directly insulates the store's bottom line.
Okay, yeah. When you frame it around the nightmare of reverse logistics, the gimmick argument kind of falls apart.
It really does.
Now, let's go back to that scenario I opened with, the cashierless checkout. I grab a black jacket and walk out. Mechanically, how is the visual cortex actually pulling that off?
It's a massive technical feat, honestly.
Because, I mean, distinguishing one black jacket from a slightly larger identical black jacket while I'm actively moving seems computationally impossible.
It sounds impossible, but it's all about continuous multi-camera tracking and vector mapping. So the system creates a digital twin of the store environment.
A digital twin?
Yeah, a virtual replica. When you walk in, you aren't just a video feed. The AI assigns you a unique digital profile based on variables like the shape of your movement and the color blocking of your clothes.
Okay.
And as you move, your profile is handed off seamlessly from one camera's field of view to the next.
So if I walk behind a massive pillar, right, and the camera loses sight of me for 3 seconds,
yeah.
When I pop out the other side, the next camera knows it's still me because it recognizes my height and my green sweater.
Exactly. It connects the dots. And when you reach out and pick up that jacket, the system maps the interaction.
How does it know I actually took it, though?
Well, it knows the exact shelf location, for one. And the weight sensors on the shelf often confirm an item was removed. Plus, the camera visually confirms the object in your hand.
Oh, wow. So it's using multiple data points.
Right. It adds that specific SQ to your virtual cart.
Yeah.
And when you walk out, it just pings the payment token associated with your app.
Hmm. If we connect this to the bigger picture, this cashierless technology isn't just about making your life easier as a shopper, is it?
Not at all.
It's essentially the ultimate loss prevention tool. Shrinkage, which is, you know, theft, lost items, vendor fraud. It has always been treated as a frustrating but unavoidable cost of doing business.
It has.
Mm-hmm.
But consider the mechanism we just described. If the system is constantly tracking every single product's location relative to every single customer in real time, it instantly identifies anomalies.
Like if someone tries to steal something.
Exactly. If an item is picked up from a shelf, but suddenly disappears from view in a way that suggests it was slipped into a bag or a coat pocket, the system flags the discrepancy immediately.
Because it knows that jacket should still be visible in my hand.
Right. The loss prevention angle is arguably a much bigger driver for this technology than just the convenience of skipping the checkout line.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Because everything we just talked about is the flashy, customer-facing side. But reading through the Scopic guy, it becomes clear that the real financial earthquake is happening where the customers aren't even looking. It's happening in the aisles, in the back room, the operational efficiency.
Sure, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The back of house operations are where computer vision truly acts as an unblinking workhorse. Take inventory management and shelf monitoring, for example.
Okay.
The traditional way of doing this involves an employee walking the floor with a scanner, manually auditing hundreds of items, which is, you know, incredibly prone to human error.
Oh, yeah. And it creates that awful scenario where you go to the store, the shelf is completely empty, but you know for a fact the item is sitting in a cardboard box 50 feet away in the stockroom.
Yes, which is a lost sale that didn't need to happen.
Right.
Computer vision solves this by comparing the real-time camera feed against the store's digital planogram.
The planogram, that's like the master blueprint of where every product is supposed to be, right?
Exactly. The moment the AI detects that a high-velocity product is running low, it doesn't even wait for the shelf to be completely empty.
What does it do?
It automatically routes an alert to the workflow device of an employee on the floor, telling them exactly which item to grab from the back and restock.
That is wild. I also love how the guide transitions from tracking products to tracking the customers themselves through behavior analytics.
Yeah, that's a huge shift.
Because we are so used to the idea that online retailers track our every micro movement, right? They know exactly how long your mouse hovers over the buy button.
Yep.
But this technology is finally bringing that level of aggressive tracking into the physical world. It's like they are creating a real-time heat map of human curiosity.
A heat map of human curiosity. That captures it perfectly.
Yeah.
Because the cameras aren't just counting foot traffic at the front door anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually measuring dwell time.
Dwell time. So how long I stand there staring at something.
Right. It's the difference between someone walking briskly down an aisle versus someone stopping, lingering for 45 seconds, picking up two competing brands of coffee, reading the labels, and then putting one back.
That is such granular data. So if a brand pays a premium to put a massive cardboard promotional display at the end of an aisle, the store doesn't have to guess if it drove sales by looking at end-of-month revenue anymore.
No, they don't have to guess at all.
They can literally see the conversion rate. They can say 1,000 people walked past it, 300 stopped to look, and 50 actually put the item in their cart.
Exactly. And that allows physical retail to become as rapidly optimized as an e-commerce landing page. They can do A/B testing on store layouts based on hard, undeniable behavioral data.
Okay, so the benefits are staggering. But you read the Siskopic guide and you quickly realize a business owner can't just, you know, buy a few 4K cameras off the internet, screw them into the ceiling, and expect a magical heat map of human curiosity to appear on their laptop.
Not quite, no.
There is a brutal, highly structured physical reality to building this infrastructure.
You're touching on the real constraint there. Implementation is a massive technical undertaking. The guide is very clear that you have to start by matching the technology to a specific business goal.
Right. Like, you don't overhaul your entire store for cashierless checkout if your only real problem is that employees keep misplacing stock in the back room.
Exactly. You align the tech with the problem. And once the goal is set, you hit the most critical infrastructure hurdle, which is processing power.
Yeah, because the sheer volume of data we are talking about is staggering. I was trying to do the math on this while reading.
It's a lot.
If a grocery store has 60 high-definition cameras shooting video at 70 frames a second, you are generating tens of gigabytes of data every single minute.
Right.
You literally cannot push that much raw video through a standard commercial internet connection to a cloud server without crashing the entire network. So how are they physically handling the data load?
This is where the guy draws a hard line between cloud computing and edge computing.
Aww.
You're absolutely right. Sending raw 4K video to an Amazon or Google server offsite introduces massive latency and bandwidth bottlenecks.
It just wouldn't work fast enough.
No, it wouldn't. That is why real-time computer vision relies heavily on edge computing. You physically install the processing servers locally, right there in the store's back room at the edge of the network.
Okay, I want to make sure I get this. So the heavy lifting happens locally. The AI model lives on a physical box next to the mop closet.
Basically, yeah.
The camera feeds the raw video into that box. The box analyzes the video. And then instead of uploading all that heavy video to the cloud, it just uploads a tiny text file that says, customer A picked up jacket B at 10.04 a.m.
You've got it perfectly. It strips the heavy visual data down to lightweight metadata. For applications demanding zero latency, like cashierless checkout or real-time loss prevention, edge computing is non-negotiable.
But the hardware is only half the battle. Because as the guide points out, you have to train the AI.
Oh, yeah. Training is huge.
Because a brand new computer vision model is basically a newborn baby, right? It doesn't inherently know what a box of cereal looks like.
Right. It requires a massive diet of training data. And this is remarkably complex because of what the industry calls computer vision drift.
Computer vision drift? What's that?
Well, a product looks different depending on the lighting, the angle, or if it's partially blocked by another item on the shelf.
Hmm.
The AI has to recognize it in all those variations.
Or what happens when a brand totally redesigns its packaging? Like if a soda company releases a special edition can for the Super Bowl, doesn't the AI suddenly get confused because it's looking for the old design?
That's a huge issue, and it requires continuous retraining. Many developers actually use synthetic data generation to combat this now.
Synthetic data? How does that work?
They essentially build a 3D digital model of the store in a video game engine and run thousands of simulated scenarios with different lighting and packaging variations.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they use it to train the AI before the physical cameras even go live.
That is wild. Training AI in a video game so it works in a grocery store.
It's incredibly effective.
Yeah. Now, while we are talking about data collection, we have to talk about the elephant in the room, privacy.
Yeah, we can't ignore that.
Because the idea of 60 cameras tracking my every physical movement, analyzing my body shape, and assigning me a digital profile sounds like a total surveillance state nightmare.
It's a highly sensitive area, for sure, and the SCAPIC guide stresses that regulatory compliance is paramount here. But this is actually another reason why edge computing is so valuable.
Because the data doesn't leave the store.
Exactly. The industry relies on privacy-preserving AI techniques. Because the processing happens locally on that server in the back room, the system can be programmed to instantly blur faces, strip away biometric identifiers, and convert the video feed into anonymous wireframes before the data is ever stored or sent anywhere.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. So the AI doesn't need to know who you are to know what you are holding.
Right, cares about the product, not your identity.
Okay, so we have our goals, we have our edge servers humming in the back room, we have our AI trained on synthetic data, and we've built in our privacy protocols. Let's talk about the actual deployment.
The fun part.
Yeah, the guide makes a clear distinction between buying an off-the-shelf platform versus building custom bespoke software.
Yeah, it really comes down to the uniqueness of your operations. If you are a standard retailer and you just want basic shelf monitoring, there are plug-and-play AI platforms ready to go. It's cost-effective. It's fast.
But I imagine things get messy when you try to plug this futuristic AI into a retailer's legacy systems. I mean, some of these massive retail chains are running inventory software that feels like it was built in the 1990s.
Oh, it is the single biggest roadblock for bespoke development.
Mm-hmm.
Older enterprise resource planning, or ERP, systems were built on batch processing.
Meaning what? They don't update in real time.
Exactly. They update the inventory ledger maybe once a day, usually at midnight. Oh. Meanwhile, computer vision is firing JSON webhooks every millisecond.
Oh, wow. That's a huge mismatch.
It is. Building the API bridges to force a cutting-edge, real-time AI to communicate with a decades-old batch database is a massive engineering hurdle.
This raises an important question. If it's this complicated, how do you actually deploy it without just completely shutting down the business?
Well, you never do a global rollout. You isolate the variables through a pilot program. You deploy the system in a single store or, you know, even just a single aisle.
Keep it small.
Yeah, and you define strict key performance indicators. Did stockouts decrease by 15%? Did dwell time increase? You find where the model fails in the real world, you tweak the legacy integration, and you prove the return on investment before you ever try to scale.
I want to look at one more challenge the guide brings up, and it's not a technical one. It's the human element.
Right, the staff.
Because if I'm an employee and management installs an omnipresent AI system that monitors exactly how fast shelves are restocked and alerts my tablet the second something is out of place, I am going to feel horribly micromanaged.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm going to feel like the tech is there to replace me or at least monitor my every breath.
And that reaction is entirely predictable if the rollout is mishandled. The guide explicitly warns that without proper framing, employee resistance will kill the project entirely.
So how do they fix that?
The strategy is early involvement. You cannot drop this on the staff after the fact. You have to bring them into the pilot phase and actually demonstrate how the technology removes the friction from their daily shifts.
So instead of pitching it as this AI is going to watch you work,
right,
you pitch it as this AI is going to stop you from having to spend 4 hours a day manually counting boxes with a clipboard.
Exactly. It automates the drudgery. When employees realize the system acts as a support tool, freeing them up to handle customer service or creative merchandising, the narrative shifts.
Mm.
It goes from a fear of replacement to adopting a tool that makes their lives vastly easier.
So we've covered the tech, the hurdles, and the human side. To pull this all together, the SCAPIC guide essentially provides an ultimate readiness checklist.
It does.
A retailer needs to ask, what specific problem are we solving? Do we need cloud or edge architecture? How are we handling data privacy and legacy system integration? And what does our pilot program actually look like?
It's a really comprehensive framework.
Mm.
It forces businesses to look past the hype and focus on operational reality.
So what does this all mean? When you zoom all the way out, the core thesis of this SCAPIC guide is that the future of computer vision in retail isn't really about installing cameras or flashy try-on mirrors.
No, not at all.
It's about creating fundamentally smarter businesses. It is about taking the physical world, which has always been messy and unquantifiable, and turning it into structured data so retailers can make faster, highly informed decisions.
It changes the very nature of physical space. And actually, thinking through the implications of everything we've unpacked today leaves us with a fascinating and perhaps slightly unsettling final thought.
Okay, I'm ready. Lay it on me.
Well, we discussed the heat map of human curiosity, right?
Right.
And how these systems track our micro-movements, our dwell times, our hesitation. If physical stores are now capable of analyzing our bodily movements with that level of extreme algorithmic precision, and they can dynamically optimize their physical layouts to trigger our purchases in real time.
Oh, wow. I see where this is going.
At what point does walking through a brick-and-mortar grocery store become just as targeted, just as curated, and just as deeply personalized as scrolling through a perfectly tailored online feed?
That is a wild thought. It's definitely something for you to mull over the next time you find yourself lingering just a little too long in a carefully arranged aisle.